Right now, I'm here with a reggae artist, chef, and entrepreneur. He was born as Keith Valentine Graham in 1958 in St. Mary's, Jamaica. If I said Dragon's Den or Reggae Sauce, would you know who I'm talking about? It's none other than the one and only Levi Roots. Welcome to Lightning FM this afternoon, and thanks for giving us your time.
Respect Daddy Fridge, Rastafari, blessed love, you know. Give thanks for coming, because you don't know, you know, Rastafari message have to just flow, you know. Even though we slay dragons all over the place, it's still the same message of one love.
For real. All right, Levi, please give us a little insight into how your music career started, as I know you were MCing for Coxon International Sound System back in the early 80s. Please explain some more.
Well, you know, the whole thing started after leaving school and just hooking up with the great Sir Coxon Sound, and also, you know, wanted to be in the music business. It's a very musical family, my family. My grandmother was a singer in the Baptist church. My grandfather was also a singer in the Baptist church. As a matter of fact, he and my grandmother used to do a duet together. My mother has got a beautiful voice, even though she never recorded, but she was the choir leader in her church as well. And all my kids are musical, you know, so there was a musical background. And I left school and always wanted to be involved. And once I got, you know, I met the great Festus. Festus is the legendary selector for Sir Coxon Sound System. He was my first mentor in music to sort of give me the opportunity to take up the microphone of Sir Coxon and being able to express myself. So I would say it started off with the Coxon Sound and the mentoring of the great Festus.
Definitely have a big up Father Festus each and every time. I have to ask you about your band, Matic 16. You were the lead vocals in the band and signed to Jimmy Lindsay's label, Music Hive. You then went on to the release of the classic Steppers Anthem, Jehovah, and then later on, No Money Today, for producer Peter Richards' Regent record label. How did this help you?
Well, you know, the first thing to start in the band Matic 16, that was after I had my first hit as a solo artist. I started off, my first song was called Poor Man's Story, produced by Lordy Coxon. And that was a massive hit for me as a young man. And then, you know, not being comfortable with just doing one thing, I always felt like I could conquer anything and do anything. So the next step really was to move on to being singing, because the first track was as a DJ, as a toaster. And then I wanted to sing and to form a band and then to form my own label. So we formed the band Matic 16. We formed the label Conqueror Records. And, you know, and went on to tour. Jehovah was a massive hit then that helped us to keep the band going. And sounds like Jashaka and all the sort of roots sound in the day were championing Jehovah. It became like an iconic sort of British roots and culture track. And move on from there, and then went on to solo, and I formed my second label, Soundbox. And that's when really the solo of Levi Roots started to take off from the Soundbox label.
Why? Okay, like you just said, in 1982 you set up your own record label, which was Conquer Records, which saw the release of Matic 16's third release entitled Say You Want Me. You also gave breaks to Mikey General with a track entitled Baby Mother and Jack Raddick's track Walk On By. What was this like for you, releasing a song on your own label?
Well, it was brilliant, you know, because the main aim was to try to put something back into the community who had given me so much as a part of Sir Coxon Sound. And the label really was to try to help other young, you know, DJs and singers in Brixton, especially in Brixton where I was from. And Mikey General, you know, he was from Brixton. Well, actually Peckham, he was from Peckham. And, you know, he was a singer that used to be sort of round us as the sound system, but never recorded. And I wanted to use my, you know, my experiences to help him. So I recorded his first song, Baby Mother, and then recorded Ricky Rankin's first track, Digital Rock. And Jack Raddick, who is a massive singer in Jamaica, I recorded his first song, Walk On By, on my label. So it was really, for me, it was really fulfilling knowing that I was doing my own thing, as well as helping other people to sort of move off their career as well. So, and you know, people need a little help there now and again from people who's actually had the chance themselves. So really, you know, for me, it was great seeing people like Mikey General and Ricky Rankin just sort of moving on and doing their thing. And nowadays for me, hopefully with the label now, I'll be seeking to do the same thing again.
Matic 16 broke up And the year of 1983 saw you take a trip back to Jamaica, where you kicked off your solo career. Why did you make this choice?
Well, you know, Jamaica always influenced my music because, you know, even though I spent most of my life here in the UK, I think the inspiration for my music comes from Jamaica. I always wrote my songs there and went back to record. I get the original vibes for the song there and always go back to record there because I just love the sound and being in the studios of Channel One and in King Tubby's and working with Sly and Robbie and all these great people. Because I wanted that to enhance my own career more and teach me more about the music. So, you know, and plus in Jamaica, man, the vibes is different, you know. You're in the studio and it's such an uplifting vibes. The music is always made differently there than it's made over here because of the environment that you are in. And I always say environment has a lot to do with the music and what, you know, in what comes out of the studio is the environment. It's not about the equipment because we here in the UK has always had better equipment than Jamaicans. But yet it's the vibe in Jamaica that actually gives the music the sound and the feel that we've all learned to love about reggae music.
Definitely. Let's move on to the early 1990s. I hear your meeting with Nelson Mandela, also singing happy birthday to Mr. President in Brixton, inspired you to make a new album and label. You sold Conker Records back catalogue to Kicking Records, and Soundbox Media, aka SBM, was born. Why the change of the record labels?
Well, you know, again, it was just another sort of entrepreneurial move, you know, for me. Kicking Records really wanted the label, you know, and as I could do with the money to move on and do other things and form another label. I sold on to them and started the Soundbox label. And the Soundbox label really helped me to move on again another pace, because this time I was recording with bigger artists, that well-known artists like Luciano and people like that, on an Anthony B and people like that, on my Greedy Bug Rhythm. So, you know, moving on from the Conqueror Records and into Soundbox, it just gives me a push to go back to Jamaica and said, instead of working with lesser-known artists, I'm going to go for the big boys. So it was really another groundbreaking thing for me to go and write songs with Luciano and Anthony B and people like that. You know, it was really an eye-opener because as a musician and as a songwriter, that's what you really hope to do, is always to work with the top guys them. And I certainly did that when I formed my Soundbox label.
Definite. Levi, you got back with the Main Tink 16 and produced an album entitled Free Your Mind. The album took 2 years to complete and was released in January 1998. I must say, the album had some good reviews from journalists worldwide, which led you being nominated for the best reggae performer at the Mobile Awards in 1998. You were one of the first UK roots and culture artists to be recognized for a major music award. What was it like for you?
Well, it was brilliant, you know, because as you know, with the Mobile Awards, it's being recognized for what you do by the people that buys your music. And it's fantastic whenever time that happens. I don't like these corporate awards where the record companies, they give you an award for making money for them. But I like the fact that the Mobile Awards were saying that it's the people that's nominated you for it. And the album was great because it allowed me to get back for the first time with my friends for Matic 16 days, because the producer was Henry Buttons Tenue, who was Patrick's brother that was with me in the band. And it was the first time that we actually got back together since the Matic 16 days to produce Free Your Mind album. And you know, we were just so lucky that it became, you know, one of the most popular roots and culture album come out of this country. It sold really well, nominated for the Mobile with it. It did everything that it says on the label. It took us a long time to record, but I think that says volume for it, because it was precisely because I was very particular about using top class musicians. And even though when they went away on tour and I would wait for them to come back, I wouldn't sort of sell it short and things like that. And I think that was the secret of the success, because it was done what we call a proper album, and I think that came over in it.
Okay, Levi, it's now 2009 and we see the release of another album entitled Red Hot, which is in music stores all over the world from Monday morning. And I'm telling you, this album is more than Red Hot. It comes like when you touch it, it gives you a big musical burn. It has tracks on like So Out of My Mind, which was also released earlier this month as a single, and is track 2 on the album, and a track to look out for. It also has Black on Black, track number 8 on the album, and Border Avenue, track number 5 on the album, just to mention a few. Levi, please tell us how the album came about and why the name Red Hot.
Well, you know, Red Hot, the song Red Hot actually came out quite a few years ago. By Mafia and Floxy, because we started to record a set of songs back then that we could actually sow the seeds for an album, and we stopped and started in between that. And again, it was the same philosophy as the Free Your Mind album, that, you know, we would pick out a particular set of musicians that we wanted to use on this, including people like Dean Fraser and people like that, and really to create an artwork, something, music that could be played in 10, 20 years time, because it's got live music on there and it's got real emotions on it. So we wasn't worried about the time that it took to do it, because we know as professional musicians that, you know, these type of songs are always the songs that's played in the long run. So, you know, it's just fun doing it and fun working with these great musicians. And Monday, come the show on Monday, is another chapter in my life, whereas the last 2.5 years has been Sauce and, you know, business and everything to do that. Sauce coming out of my ear hole and everywhere else. So it'd be great to just get back to the music, you know, back to the original inspiration, on stage with these iconic musicians, you know, and busting out, you know, the type of tunes that has always inspired me. So I really can't wait for Monday. It's going to be fantastic.
Levi, please give us a few lines out of So Out of My Mind.
Baby, when I found out you were lying and playing around and conniving.
My gosh, all I can say is make sure you get that album. All right, this Monday sees the launch of your album in Shepherd's Bush. Please give us some more info. Where can we get tickets from and what times?
Yeah, I think showtime is about 8 o'clock. I'll be on stage about it. So people get to reach early. It's not a late thing, because really it's just saying to people, you know, to come out to listen to the tracks of the new album and really enjoy yourself and, you know, and get involved with what I'm doing. There won't be much sauce there, so I don't want people to turn up thinking that they're going to, like, you know, fill up them belly with all the reggae sauce and things like that. It'll be totally about the music. And, you know, I'm expecting it to be a good night. I'm expecting, you know, a lot of original Levi Roots fans to be there, you know, people that's known me for a long time. But more likely, you know, it'll be quite a few people turn up that knows, that thinks my musical career starts and ends with the reggae sauce song. So it'll be interesting to have a look in their faces when, you know, they actually see me doing something that I've been doing for the past 30 years, that was the inspiration behind the sauce and everything like that. So yeah, there's a few surprises in for them.
Okay, well, let's move on to Brixton Market, Notting Hill Carnival, and the community event. That's where we saw you with your guitar and a rucksack selling this bottle of sauce, which is now the famous reggae sauce. You were selling the sauce in ones and twos, and it was also sold out of a record shop in South London. I know the sauce was a secret recipe of your grandmother's. Please explain some more.
Well, you know, it was difficult at first, you know, because nobody wouldn't... None of my friends would accept the name reggae sauce. You know, they all thought that, you know, it was the wrong name for it. But as with me, like I was saying earlier in my life, that most of the time everything that I do is because somebody else says it can't work. You know, that, and I will always try to challenge that and try to prove them wrong. And selling the sauce out of my bag in Brixton Market, you know, was something that I did proudly, because I always believed that one day something was going to happen to it. It wasn't something that I was doing reluctantly. You know, I was out there and people will tell you I was just like shouting and doing, you know, I'm world proud and you know, we're talking about buy the sauce, man, you know, brilliant. And, you know, it was no shy thing, because Levi Roots don't do shy. So, you know, it was really out there saying that I believed it. And I wanted, when people look in my eyes, they believed it as well. Because you've got to be passionate about whatever you're doing. If you're not passionate, no one's gonna believe you. Because no one's gonna trust themselves if they don't trust you with their product. You know, so you've got to believe it first of all. So I was just out there doing second nature, what came second to me, which is performing and believing in what I do. So, you know, I was a bit sorry for the Dragons then when they saw me on Dragons then, thinking that, what's this man doing here? Is he in the wrong show or something like that? But certainly not on this show. But I think I won them over the minute I came up the stairs with the guitar. It wasn't about anything else. It was about that first 30 seconds or so with me coming up the stairs with the guitar and finishing the song. And as they say, the rest is history.
Well, I know you wanted to give them a 20% stake, but eventually they got 40%, and you got the £50,000 to start up the business. But Levi, I have to ask you, did you do maths at school? The reason why I asked this question is because what 2.5 million and 2,500 kilograms of sauce is a big, big difference. Was that a selling point?
Absolutely a selling point. That was actually a plan. That was a plan. Because you cannot go and do everything correctly. And I think it's because it was that part of the show that made me more endearing to everybody, because there I was, people were saying that it could have been anybody, you know. I was not there saying that I was perfect. As a fact, I put my hands up and says, hey, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, man. I'm not a mathematician. You know, don't expect anything more from me, you know. But those figures that I actually said on the show, we've actually outsold that like 4 or 5 times over. So if anything, I've got to say I have the vision. I had the vision, man. No one else did. But we've gone past in figures long time. I think we sold something like 10 or 12 million bottles of reggae reggae sauces. And we have 9 different flavors. And it's just selling in its own. So, you know, for me, it was all about the audacity of going on as yourself and not pretending to be somebody else. And I think that was my saving grace.
For real. Well, after that happened, Sainsbury's opened up. Then obviously Scream Pub and JD Williams, Weatherspoon's Pub, started selling your stuff as well. My gosh, what a thing. Alright, let me ask you about the BBC too. Your own program, Caribbean Food Made Easy. Please tell us a bit how that came about, Levi.
You know, it was the, you know, people approaching me. You know, the BBC came to me and said to me that, you know, they want me to do a series. And, you know, my first thing was that I wanted to be true to Caribbean food. First of all, I didn't want to make a program that they, you know, they want to present Caribbean food, and I did it here in the UK in a kitchen, which is more likely what they would have done if I didn't raise my voices. You know, I said to them, if you're not going to send me to Jamaica to do it original style so people can actually see the cuisine from where it's coming from, then I'm not going to do it. And the BBC duly agreed to give me the budget to go and do it in the proper way. And, you know, I think it did great for Caribbean cuisine. It did great for Jamaica, because, you know, I had so many messages from people saying that they feel like they want to go to Jamaica, and how much the show sort of brought back a little bit of dignity, because there's been a few shows about the Caribbean, especially about Jamaica, over the past few months that didn't really put it in the best of light. And all Jamaicans was up in arms at one particular night, that went to Jamaica and really did some bad things. So it was great that you know, my show just brought back a little bit of unity, made people feel good again about how their island has been presented, you know, because everyone was so proud about it. And, you know, I'm just glad that it came over that way.
Okay, Levi, what future plans and projects do you have in the pipeline that you can tell us about?
Well, for me, it's just to extend the brand, you know. It's not about like running off and doing a whole heap of other things. More TV show, I think, is cool, because being on TV, I think, has really helped the whole Caribbean cuisine, to put millions of pounds on the cuisine and on the food that's coming out of the Caribbean. So I'm really looking forward to the next series of Caribbean Food Made Easy and other TV shows which the BBC have planned for me, because I know TV will actually do a lot for the cuisine. But it's just to extend the Levi Roots brand, and of course to get back into the music fully and to do more in the music and to record other acts and help to build the Soundbox Media label again to the fullness.
Well, Levi, this is the part where I would normally say you can't leave us like this, but you know, I would normally ask for a song, but you see, today I'm not going to ask for a song, as this is the Mummy and Daddy selection, and I know people are in the kitchen. Please tell us something we can do with some chicken, onions, peppers, and a bottle of reggae reggae sauce, because we don't have no other seasonings inside the cupboard, you know.
Well, that's easy, man. You know, because the reggae reggae sauce, I call it, is a super sauce. You know, you can do almost anything with it. So, I mean, I would marinate the chicken in it straight away. Just get it in the chicken there and leave it in there for a few hours. And then just to put it in the oven, you know, just put everything with the vegetables and the onions and everything in an oven dish. And just bung that in the oven, man, and just cook that away. The sauce will do the rest. And within, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes or so, hey, presto. You know, you have it. Reggae, reggae chicken. Respect.
My gosh. Once again, Levi, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. And thanks for giving us your time here at Lightning FM. Whatever you do further in life, we wish you all the best. Blessed love.